2 weeks ago, our next guest had the honor of replacing Michigan senior Senator Carl Levin. Democrat Gary Peters had already served 5 years in the U.S. House representing parts of southeast Michigan. Mr. Levin had just wrapped up a career that spanned more than three decades. To find out about the transition and to hear his thoughts on some of the issues sure to dominate 2015, we welcome to Studio S Senator Gary Peters. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Mark. Look forward to the program.
We appreciate your carving out time here today ahead of your Martin Luther King Day luncheon address in downtown Lansing. How does it feel? You've gone from one house of Congress to the other. What's it like?
Well, it's still new, but I tell you, it is certainly very humbling to be at the United States Senate. When we got sworn in, we just walked down the center aisle with Senator Carl Levin next to me, Senator Debbie Stabenow. But given Carl Levin's tenure there of 36 years of service representing the state, he's always been a mentor to me, someone who I believe represents the very best of public service. So to be sitting at that desk. In fact, I actually have Carl's desk on the floor of the U.S. Senate, which he used for 36 years.
How interesting. How about that? Well, there's so much to talk about here, especially, I mean, the day before the State of the Union address and a new Congress and what have you. You will, of course, be in the Capitol tomorrow night on one of the big nights of the year, the State of the Union. The president will recommend eliminating what's been called the trust fund loophole. This enables beneficiaries to inherit sometimes significant sums of money tax-free, and that revenue would apparently be used to create tax credits for working and middle-class Americans. Is this an idea you support or could support?
Yeah, I think it's an idea that I could support. We have to look at all the details as we go through, but there's no question one of the big challenges that we face as a country right now is the widening gap between the middle class and folks at the very top, and most of the economic gains that have occurred in recent years have all accrued at the top. And in order to strengthen the American middle class, which is critical for the economy, first and foremost, putting more money in the pockets of middle class folks is good for the economy because folks spend that money and we grow the economy. It's also important to have a strong and vibrant democracy, but we need to be able to fund critical programs, whether it's early childhood education and adult education, all these programs that are also very important for folks in addition to some middle class tax relief. And you've got to find revenue somewhere, and it certainly, I think, it's an area that we should look at.
This is interesting. You found yourself in the minority in the House. You no sooner get elected to the Senate than you find yourself in the minority, and otherwise you might be in the majority here just as recently as a few weeks ago. The GOP in Congress likely won't hand the president the opportunity to do this. Game this out for us. As a guy with background in finance, where do you think we could end up if the measure that goes to the White House is significantly less than what the president would like?
Well, and I don't know how some of these proposals will pass, quite frankly. I mean, just the practical realities of dealing with the Republican Congress right now. But that does not mean that you should not start that dialogue, because this is an important issue for the country. It's strategic kinds of decisions that we need to make, and the dialogue and the debate should start right now. It's likely you'll see this debate continue into 2016 in the presidential election, and that will drive it, and the American people ultimately will have an opportunity to have their say as to who they elect and who they send to Congress in 2016. So, you know, you've got to stand up for things you believe in, even though you may not have the numbers right now in Congress, because everything changes.
Well, the Republicans are obviously would obviously be a lot more interested in the discussion over lowering the U.S. corporate tax rate, the highest in the world, apparently. Is it an appropriate time to consider that? Could you get behind that proposal?
Well, I support tax reform. We do need to reform the tax code. It is very, very complicated. It can be simplified. You have parts of the tax code that, to me, don't make a lot of sense. We have, in fact, parts of the code that incentivize companies for sending jobs overseas, for example. That makes no sense whatsoever. Those need to end. So you can actually eliminate an awful lot of corporate tax loopholes, simplify the code. Now, what that means is if you're taking advantage of those loopholes, you're going to see your tax bill go up. But in the process, you could actually lower the rate for everybody else and see a lower, fairer rate. Make sure everybody's paying their fair share.
But could you get behind a reduction in the corporate tax rate? Is that something you could conceivably support?
Yeah, provided we get rid of these loopholes as well. Okay. It needs to be neutral, revenue neutral, or perhaps even generate revenue overhand so we can deal with the deficit. So I do believe, yes, you can support a reduction in the corporate tax rate, but you have to also get rid of some of these loopholes that allow the offshoring of assets and other things that allow some companies to avoid paying tax. I mean, you've got some major companies in this country that basically pay no tax, and yet you have small businesses that are struggling and are paying a much larger tax bill. That's not fair. That's why we need to lower the overall rate.
Michigan Senator Gary Peters joins me live in Studio S here on WKAR's Current State. Last Thursday, I take it you were in Baltimore with the other Senate Democrats. And in a closed-door session, President Obama asked for your support for vetoes that he says he will execute of Republican proposals. The first one may well be the Homeland Security funding bill, which would also defund the president's immigration order. Is this a prelude to a pretty contentious session?
Well, I hope not. And it's really very disappointing because as we went into this session and I heard from my Republican colleagues, how let's work together. Let's try to find middle ground. In my freshman class, there are 13 new senators that were sworn in, 12 Republicans and me as the Democrat. I'm the only Democrat. But my freshman colleagues, so Gary, let's all figure out ways to work together. And it's interesting because the one place where in the Senate the folks actually did work together was on comprehensive immigration reform in the last session. You had Democrats and Republicans coming together. And it seems to me we should be building on that success because we need to deal with that issue. And instead, we've got Republicans now in this knee-jerk reaction saying, let's fight what the president is doing, which in large measure is a lot of what was part of that bipartisan bill that passed out of the United States Senate.
There's more bipartisan support for a Keystone XL pipeline measure than for other Republican initiatives. Are you concerned that if the president vetoes Keystone, which sounds likely, that you may not have the votes to sustain a veto? Is that possible?
The math could be very close on that. We'll see what happens. You know, I have concerns that I'm going to be addressing in that debate. This is going to be, we're told, it's going to be an open amendment process, which allows all of members to shape the bill, craft the bill as we go forward. There are a couple of amendments that I plan to offer.
What's at the top of your list?
Well, first off, deals with a material called petcoke, and your listeners may have heard a lot about that during the campaign, actually.
There's a bunch in Detroit, correct?
Absolutely. In my district, we had this petcoke material. It was a city block long, four or five stories high. It was blown into people's houses, into their lungs. And when you refine Canadian tar sands oil, for every barrel of oil, about a third of the material is this petcoke. It's considered the dirtiest of the dirtiest fuels. And what was clear is that we don't have a good understanding of what potential health impacts are of this petcoke. We certainly don't have in place standards that states will follow for the proper handling and storage of this material. So I've got an amendment that will deal with that, because if you build another pipeline bringing tar sands oil, you're going to have an awful lot of petcoke, and it's going to be a big issue. The second amendment deals with the pipeline that we have here in Michigan. And those of us in Michigan, we know that pipelines break. I mean, we had the largest, most expensive pipeline break in history with Canadian tar sands oil in Kalamazoo, as you recall, a few years ago in Enbridge. We're still cleaning that up. And I'm very fearful that we've got a pipeline going across the Straits of Mackinac that, as you can just imagine, a pipeline break there would be catastrophic. Mm.
We're on a tight schedule. You're on a tight schedule. Welcome back to East Lansing. I don't know how long it's been since you've been in town, but it's great that you carved out some time to join us here today, and we hope you can do it again soon.
Well, it's always great to be here. In fact, I am an MSU alum. I got my master's degree here, so I love being in East Lansing.
All right. Very good. Senator Gary Peters live with us here in Studio S on WKAR's Current State.